to introduce our speaker for tonight. Diane Wolf is joining us. She has been on staff at IBC for 28 years. She's currently the Director of Staff Development and Special Events, which really means she is like the mom to the staff. She encourages the staff, helps make sure there's healthy communication, holds ministries accountable to follow the policies and procedures, like cleaning up when they're done, and plans fun activities for everyone. Sounds just like a mom, right? She's also a wife and a mom. I've been married to Mark for almost 36 years. They have two children, Matt, who's married to Elise, and they have a new baby girl, Lucy, who's 2 months old. They live in the area. And Carly, who has been married to JC. They have two boys, Trey, who's 4, and Hudson, 9 months, and they live in Pennsylvania. She loves being a Gigi. Being a Gigi is way better than being a parent. In her free time, she loves to travel and spend time with friends, but nothing is sweeter than lingering at the dinner table, talking about life and Jesus with her adult children, and being exhausted from holding and playing with her grandchildren. Thanks for joining us tonight.
It's good to be with you guys. This is too tall for me. I was just thinking about the last time that I was with you guys was last May, and it was via Zoom or video. I remember thinking about how was I supposed to encourage you guys virtually, and just thinking about how much has changed in that period of time from 1 year to now, to be able to sit with each other face to face and knowing that we're even moving into more quote unquote normalcy. Maybe this time next year it'll look completely different than it looks right now. And what a gift it has been for God to have sustained each one of you wherever you have been. Look at you here now in person. And that's really a testimony to God's work for sure. Let me move some of this. So, I don't really need a microphone, honestly. And this is the microphone right here to videotape it, audio tape it. So, there's a little bit of a difference between what the title was and what I'm talking about. As things morph over time, you know, and everything. And so when Karen and I talked and we emailed back and forth, and then I went into the women's bathroom and I said, oh, huh, that's kind of a different title than what I'm really talking about. So if you read it and you go, hey, that doesn't seem like what the talk is, well, you're right. So you get an award, you get the reward for it, or the server seeing that our talk is different. So really, I'm going to be talking to you guys about time. This will be our timer for the night. So everybody has been given the gift of time. It's what are we doing with the time that we have been given? God is the author and has given us the time. So tonight we're going to be talking about making the most of every opportunity. And I have a little handout. So this is really going to be more of a back and forth, talking, sharing time for personal reflection and time for us to share together. So it's going to be more than just me talking. It's going to be us kind of growing together. And we're going to use one of the things that, where'd Stephanie go? From that book from Jen Wilkin, and we'll use it in our time tonight. I was like, that's a great idea. Let's do it together. So does anybody need a pen? Anybody, raise your hand if you need a pen, because you're going to do some writing. Okay, thanks. I got a couple of extra ones over here. Here. I'm going to start taking some numbers. So I hate to make you think deep thoughts, probably at the end of the day when many of you are probably close to bedtime yourself. You maybe walked out the door and are exhausted. But you know, if you can only come up with a couple of things, this is definitely an exercise that I do intend for you to go home and think a little bit more deeply and spend some real, you know, time to savor and sit with the Lord and think about right now, what are five of the most important priorities that you have? So right now, spend a few minutes and write down a couple. If you can come up with five, that's great. You can have more than five. Just try to write down what your five top priorities are right now. Okay, just another minute. Who would be willing to share one of your priorities?
Sleep.
Sleep. Okay. Rest. Who else?
Time with my husband and kids.
Time with your husband and kids. Go.
But I'm in a different state. I actually can linger.
Cooking and cleaning.
Cooking and cleaning. Okay. Caring for your family in practical ways. Okay.
Communicating with people about a number of things. Email, phone. Mm-hmm.
Keeping up with things.
That yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time with friends.
Time with friends.
Your job.
Job. Yeah, it's good. Okay. What are some things that get in the way of spending time on those things or making those priorities actually happen? Spend a few minutes and write a couple of things down. Who might be willing to share some things that get in their way of fulfilling the or meeting those expectations for those priorities they have in their life? Yes.
Your job.
Okay. So job here, priority you said, and then your job gets in the way. So yeah. Okay. What else?
And I'll actually counter Rachel's, probably household chores.
Okay.
Tasks around the house.
Okay. So that's the both sides, right? Okay.
Kind of like what they were saying. These five priorities can kind of get in the way of each other. Like if you don't balance them right, you're spending too much time with your kids and you don't get your household stuff done or the laundry. Like those are all things you spend a lot of time on, but just balancing them all.
Right. Because even spending all your time with your kids makes them maybe feel like they're the center of the universe, that they're, you know, there's never a time they have to wait or that there might be something else. Right. Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything else they want to share?
Phone.
Good TV. For you. TV. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wrote just plain old laziness. Sometimes I just don't want to do anything. I also wrote letting others decide what I want, what is important. You know, people saying, hey, you should, let's go do this, and knowing I should do something else, really.
Unforeseen need that someone that comes up.
Okay, right, and that's kind of a good thing, right? Okay, let's go to the next page and let's see what God's word has to say about how we spend our time. And before we do that, let's do the exercise that Jen Wilkin, that you just talked about. Before we get into there, let's look through this passage of scripture that I've pulled out for tonight. And let's find out some things that tell us about who God is in this passage. Some characteristics about God. So take a few minutes, read this, and then we're going to talk about that and then talk about a couple of other things. So spend a few minutes reading it. Are you almost done? Okay. The reason why I'm taking such effort for this is because I know that you guys are young moms and have little kids, and you don't get a whole lot of time to sit and think deep thoughts and spend some time pondering what God would want for you, and especially in this stage of life. So that's kind of why we're doing it nice and slow, and I wanted it to be more of a back and forth discussion for you guys tonight, because I wanted you guys to actually have a few minutes to think about the important things of life. So let's start with that little exercise that Stephanie encouraged us from Jen Wilkin's book. Before we get going on to what we're supposed to do, let's think about, in this passage, did you guys notice anything about who God is, something about his character in this chapter? Call it out.
He's wise.
He's wise. What else?
He's love.
He's love.
Sacrificial.
Sacrificial. How is he sacrificial?
I mean, Christ gave himself up for us.
Right.
Selfless.
Selfless.
He has a will for my life. He didn't just leave me to wander around.
Great.
And we can know it.
Yeah.
That's
great. Well, that does give you confidence, doesn't it?
He's a father worth imitating.
That's great, Michelle.
He's the light.
Good.
Truth.
Truth.
No, he also judges.
Yeah. Yeah, standards.
Mm-hmm. It's also absolutely what in verse 4 it says that there must be no filthiness and foolish talk. He's a God of absolutes.
Right, that's good. Right, there's not a gray there. Right. That gets you excited when you start off looking at it that way about who he is, and it just inspires you to want to love him more and obey him. So, you know, that's a really great exercise. I do love to sit there and, because me and some of the other mentor moms, we have a little bit more time that we can spend lingering and looking at it and making lists and seeing who God is and then how we're supposed to live. So it was really great. I'm glad you brought that up tonight and with that book. So I highly recommend the book and following that. So let's go through and see about how are we supposed to live in light and response to those things that you just said. How are we then to live? How are we to spend our time? So in light of God's word, how are we to walk? And I underlined walk in the chapter. That's one of the things way back years ago I did precept study, and I can't help but underline and mark and highlight and make symbols. It's just so exciting because then you get to see the repetitive things. But in the passage, I underlined and made it bold and wrote walk. So how are we then, in light of God's word, to walk?
In love.
In love. Okay.
As children of light.
Uh-huh. Well, how is that described there?
Fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Right. What else?
Careful how you walk.
Carefully. Yeah.
Live a life of thanksgiving, giving thanks.
Good. How about awake? Walk awake. I thought that was interesting too in that passage when it says, you know, awake, go sleep, or like a sleepwalker or a person who's asleep, but they don't, I mean, I've never seen a sleepwalker, but I think they don't walk purposefully. You know, he's called us to be awake and walk with purpose.
And together, we walk together. That's
yeah.
In the last paragraph when it talks about these things we do with one another.
Yeah. So how do we make the most of our time? That time is a talent. You know, like God gives you talents. Time is actually one of the talents that we've been given. So how should we spend it? Especially in this season of your life where your time is, a lot of it is decided already for you. So you only have a limited amount of extra. So how should you spend your time as a mom of littles?
Efficiently.
Efficiently. Give me some specifics on how you should spend it.
Understanding the will of the Lord. So
how do you do that?
In His word.
In His word.
Sitting under His word.
Right. Practically, how do you do that when you have a littles? I mean, that's a very, that is a biblical answer. But practically speaking, give us some ideas. How are you spending time in the Lord with the Lord in the stage of life that you're in?
Reading with your kids.
Reading with your kids, okay. What else?
We listen to Slugs and Bugs.
Slugs and Bugs.
Which is a, it's music, it's the Bible.
Yeah.
Really well, like different musical themes.
Which probably resonates with you as a music person. Yeah.
And then the kids can sing it back later. So we
have okay.
Their CDs.
What's it called?
Slugs and Bugs.
Slugs and Bugs. Well, that sounds like a perfect thing for boys. Anybody else have a practical way that they spend time?
I got a planner. My first year of motherhood, I didn't have a planner.
Oh.
And I got a planner. Like, you only need a planner if you have a lot of things you have to do outside of your home. No. I need a planner all the time. Like, make God's word a priority, I need to plan out my day. And find time in the day for that. Or like, no, the next open space, this is when I'm going to stick the word in.
Okay.
Right? So I have a planner and I write in my planner every day.
Okay.
This is what I'm doing, including this is what I'm going to read.
Okay.
So, yeah.
doesn't always work, but join a Bible study. I mean, you know, if there are Bible studies for women that have childcare, or join one with your spouse, you know.
Right. It's accountability.
Right.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah. However you, you know, quiet time, if we're studying God's word, that's what we want to do, right?
Yeah.
We started singing a hymn after we did devotions for our kids. We got the manual hymn book that's like really cool and sleek. And we're like, okay, we're just going to pick one, and if we don't know it, we'll listen to it, and then we'll sing it and learn it, because there's a lot that we don't know.
That's great.
So,
I love that. That's fantastic.
A recommendation from Neil and Carol Dillard, our Awana missionaries, awanaplus.com, has all of the music for all of the Bible verses from Puggles all the way through, I think, the older kids. They have games. All of the lessons for Cubbies and Sparks and TNT and Journey are all there. They're like 15, 20 minutes. The puppet shows are on there. I did virtual this year, so so like you need 3-5 minutes, throw on a Cubby's puppet show. And then I also listen to just kids' hymns or just like have those playing in the background, because I can listen.
Right.
But I can't sit and read with my two crazy kids.
Right. And you know, practically speaking, if you have a full or a part-time job outside of the home, you know, it's gonna take even more thinking and planning on your part, because and that might mean you have to say, just encouraging you, that might mean you have to say more no's to other things, because, again, back to the priorities. I mean, I worked part-time when my kids were little. My daughter works full-time. And it's a challenge to have that time in the Word with God each day. And we all know it's something that we're supposed to do because it's good for us, and it gives us life and it gives us truth. But practically speaking, it can be very difficult, especially when you have little ones, and she has a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, I mean 8-month-old. That's not easy for sure. But I do know this, speaking of somebody who's a little bit farther down the road, your kids seeing you do it, your Bible open, if it's on the counter, nuggets along the way, or music in the car, things like that, it does, you know, it resonates with them. I have my little thought place where I spend time with the Lord. I call it my thoughtful spot. And my grandson, Trey, whenever I talk to him on the phone or FaceTime, he always says, Gigi, are you in your thoughtful spot? Which is sweet. I mean, he knows I have a place where I go and meet with the Lord. That's something you could do, Ethan. It could be just a chair in a room with your Bible close by that your kids know this is where you go and meet with the Lord. Of course, the Lord goes with us everywhere, but you know what I mean. It's just kind of sweet. It's modeling it to them, but it's also puts you in the Word and give them a little, you know, picture Bible to look at why they do it, so they have their time in the with the Word too as well. So, okay, we need to move along. How are the days evil for you? What does that even mean? Anybody take a guess?
We're easily distracted by non-eternal things.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I mean, verse 6, see that no one deceives you with empty words.
Yeah.
Maybe think of Psalm 119. It talks about, keep my eyes from worthless things. That was my prayer 1 year when I was dwindling away time on my phone and playing games.
Right, because some of those things, playing games is not sinful, but
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a broken world we live in. The world is evil, and Satan wants to distract you. He wants you to think about, as soon as you sit down, going, wait a minute, did I put that wash over to the dryer? Did I, let me just check that quick email. Okay, no, I'm ready now. You know what I mean? You know, he wants to distract us from being with the Lord. He doesn't want us to know what's good and right and true, for sure. I also think that something that can be evil is comparing myself to other people. This is where the hard part about social media is, and the fact of going, oh, look, they got to go so-and-so. You know, like, oh, look at their kids. They're, you know, they always look so cute and well-behaved. And meanwhile, my kids over here are like, you know, whatever. I'm like, you know, that's the good one they put up. They had 52 other ones, you know, pictures and stuff like that. And also, too, what can be evil for me is my own evil heart that goes with me everywhere I go, that is constantly wanting to do his, you know, own thing and go my own way. Okay, this is the exciting part. What's so special about the one another's that's listed in the back and in the bottom part, the last verses? What's so special about the one another's? Isn't that wonderful?
Get your struggles together.
Yeah.
Commit to pray for stuff.
Right.
Some moms, I don't have a lot of moms in the neighborhood that are believers, but one, I'm like, let's pray about that issue with the kids that we're seeing.
Well, it called us to worship together, psalms and hymns and singing, and wow, that's pretty exciting. That's worship. I mean, there's something really intimate about worshiping together, and that's one of the things I think during the season that we were at home in all of our places, you know, worshiping, it was beautiful. I mean, especially if you had kids around and, you know, your husband and you're kind of engaged. But when you got there, I remember the first Sunday back sitting in service, I was just like, woo, woo, just hearing the voices and the music. It just is powerful. God called us to be together to worship. And that's an exciting thing, the fact that you're not alone in this and you're with other believers. And it says that we get to hold each other accountable. We get to subject ourselves one another to one another in the fear of Christ. You're not alone, and you have other people who maybe by their example, it encourages you and challenges you and convicts you, or maybe their words might go, hey, have you really thought maybe that, you know, whatever, letting that kind of sink in, going, maybe they're telling me some truth I need to hear. So that's powerful. But I want to say that with all of this, I don't want you to feel as though you're now going, I have this list of things that I've just given you to do. Because you know what? There's grace for your life. There's grace for where you're at. God's grace covers it all because it doesn't depend on you. You will never do anything to make him love you more or make him love you less. The blessing of spending time in God's word and making the most of your time is the fact that you get to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with the Lord, and that you can sense his presence with you as you're going along the way. And it's that beautiful part about sanctification. But you're living, as Paul David Tripp says, in between the already and the not yet. If you don't have this devotional, I highly recommend it. It's in the bookstore. It is a fantastic devotional. It's daily. It has some really incredible encouragement, some scripture, and then it has scripture at the bottom. But I want to encourage you, don't just read this and not read the scripture. The scripture is the most important part. But the wonderful thing about the way he writes, I call it the 1-2 punch. First, he hits you with a reminder about how sinful and needy that you are. And then he reminds you about how incredibly gracious God is. The devotional for today, we're running out of time. I was going to read it to you, but it is so powerful, and it's perfect for today. So go get it in the bookstore. You won't be sorry. I've done it for, I think, 4 years in a row, and it's marked up, and I date it, and all these things. But it doesn't depend on you. God's grace is going to meet you right where you're at. Just wants you to want to be with him. He loves you so. So, and the last thing that I want to do with you is spend a little time just meditating, listening to some worship music. And this is a CD that I absolutely love, or I guess I sound old when I said CD, didn't I? Thank you, Lindsay, for laughing like that. Me and Michelle were the old ladies from this cassette that I have. But I'm going to use technology. Anyways, but this is a wonderful scripture song, lullaby album that I love, that I discovered when my grandson Trey was newborn, and I just wanted to sit and hold him listening to lullabies. And it's all scripture songs, but I use it when I'm doing devotions every morning, and it's just in the background playing, and I'm learning these little scripture songs and their lullabies. And today, this is the one that was playing, and I thought this will be a perfect way for us to end together before you guys go to small groups. So close your eyes, but don't go to sleep. And listen to this one. This one's called I Am Here. Look at me, technology. Thank you. Lord God, I just pray that you be with each one of the women in this room. Thank you that you are with us, that you give us all that we need for life and godliness. Thank you that you will strengthen us and help us. Thank you that you will uphold us with your steady hand, and you'll never let us go. You defend us and you protect us. You are our God. I pray for these women that they would walk in your ways, that they would be strategic in what they say yes to, so that they can make the most of every opportunity, God, as they seek to tell their children and then their children's children about who you are and what you have done for them. God, we love you. We're so grateful for the gift of salvation that we did not deserve, but you gave it to us anyways. And I pray that we would walk worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.